Living for Jesus. Cool, calm, and collected. How many of y'all were here at the Sunday? I know we got people watching it, and we had a great time. We honored the veterans, and I'm telling you, the joy in my heart to see veterans lined up from that wall to that wall. And you guys and the congregation, just the whole place was just in a spirit of joy. Yes, and it was awesome. So, aren't we blessed to be in a house that preaches the truth of God's Word?
Yes,
don't you come to hear the truth,
yes,
and the truth will set you free. And the ushers, you can take an offering up, I'm sorry. Hey, they are, put your hands together for the ushers, because they do a great job. They're one of the many teams that put up with me, so praise God. We come to church because we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, not conformed to what's going on in the world. We talked a lot about that on Sunday, about not doing that. And we must understand that you and I together were created by God for good works. We were created by God for good works, not bad works. God good works, not world good works. And I'm going to ask them to put up Ephesians 2:10 from the New King James. And it says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Wow. Two truths found here that are inseparable. And that's our identification in Christ and our purpose as Christians. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's prepared everything for us to do beforehand. We have to walk in him. We have to use our brains besides something for a hat rack, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we're commanded to max out, not be halfway, but all the way in everything we do. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I praise God for that set of scriptures. You know, that we should walk in them. Colossians 1:10, one of my favorite Pauline prayers. 9 goes, "Since the day I first heard about you, I did not cease to pray and to ask that you continue to fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10, check this out. "So that I can walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work." That's Paul. That's us. That's us praying for that. Man, that I can walk worthy of the Lord. That word worthy is a set of scales. You study it out, whatever you want to do, but it's a set of scales, and I liken it to, it's not law scales, because they're not balanced. Imagine that. But in a Western movie, you got the coal miner there, and the guys bring the gold miner, and the guys bring his gold to there, and they got a 5-pound, and they put that gold on there, and they put that rock in there until they get the same. That rock is worthy of that gold. Is it that gold? No. Are we Jesus? No. But we have him on the inside of us, and he told us very clearly in John 14:12, my verse, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father who is in heaven." That's awesome stuff, folks. God created us to do works for him, not for the world, not to be conformed to them. What does Romans 12:1-2 say, tell us? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a holy living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we can prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Okay. Man, I just get fired up about that. God called me. We talked a little bit about this on Sunday. John 15:16, he starts off, Jesus said, "I chose you, you didn't choose me, that you would bear fruit, works, and that they would abide." Man, he chose me. I was drafted into God's army. You know, when I received Jesus, I thought I found Jesus. Nah, he said, "Boy, I chose you." That's pretty good stuff, man. That's good stuff for me. God chose me, and he said, "I'm his workmanship." The New Living says, "You're his masterpiece." We said this many times from this pulpit, but masterpiece. God said, I'm his masterpiece. That's New Living Translation, Ephesians 2:10. He said, I'm his masterpiece. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today to tell you I've been called a lot of things, but never a masterpiece. God said, I'm his masterpiece. It don't make no difference what somebody else said. You know what I'm saying? So that's good stuff. All right. So our tongue, what we confess, has everything to do with where we go and how we live our life. So I'm going to ask them to put up, and I'm going to shoot through these pretty quick. So y'all hang on. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But Proverbs 6:2 from the New Living. It says, you are snared by the words of your mouth and you are taken by them. You are snared. Do you know what a snare is? It's a trap. My grandson, he was here earlier. He had to meet a ride to get home. But me and him hang out together. And he traps. He lives on down there on a farm, whatever. But they trap. And I go, your words, boy, they trap you, and then you're taken by them. He said, what do you mean? I said, trap, snared. What happens when we catch an otter in the trap? He says, we skin it. I said, that's what taken means. So your words, you're snared, trapped by them, and you're skint by them. You're accountable for what we say. I am. The worst thing I have is what goes on between my two ears, right, controlling my tongue. So Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to it. What I say and do as a Christian means everything, ladies and gentlemen. My confession of faith of who I am and what I can do in Christ can win more than a battle that I walk through daily. It affects my destiny. It affects my eternal destiny. It affects it. So, praise the Lord. The most important decision that we could ever make is to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Period. It's the most important, most vital decision that we can ever make as human beings. And it is. It's more important, believe it or not, than who I got married to. Man, it's more important than where you come from, who your mom and daddy are, and everything else. It is. It's the most, even though that I'll spend, it may seem like an eternity for me and my, well, for her to be with me for 47 years. But she nodded, yeah, so praise God. It is eternal, but forever. Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, that's it. Do y'all understand that? Forever. Praise God. I know that's a good thing about the Wednesday night, folks, man. You got to come to church on Wednesday night, man. It's easy to sit home in the recliner, man, after you ate and you worked all day or whatever and take it easy, but you're here because you want to be here. There ain't no checkoff box on our offering envelopes. You're here because you want to be here. So, to be a disciple, we must first be a believer. We got to do it God's way. And that's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to go through some common sense scriptures. Common sense. In other words, I don't have to be told which way to pour water out of a cup if I'm standing on a hill. Yeah, that is funny. But I've known people, I work with people, they didn't have enough sense to pour water out of a boot is a nice way to say it. We used to say it another way. That's if they were standing on a hill. They couldn't do it. You got to have common sense. We're given wisdom. Matthew 10:16. One of my favorite ones, y'all hear this from me all the time, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, use your head beside something for a hat rack. Right. How about Proverbs 2:11-12? This is from the New Living. This is good stuff, man. These are ones that I've got that I go through. But wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Okay, how about Proverbs 9:11-12? Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. How about that? Anybody got a problem with that one? I don't think so. Wisdom. Man, that's at 12. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Man, how much simpler do we need it, saints? Keep it simple, saints. How much more simpler do we need it? Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I've got that one on my wall in my shop, little shop I got, sitting right there on the other side of the lathe. Man, and every time I get in a hurry, I go, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Woo! But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Scrap wood again, going in the fire pile. Praise God. So, we have a job description from God, and I'm going to get to where I'm really going in a minute. This is a word church, isn't it? And this is what changed my life, this book, this Bible. Man, took what, 1,400 years to write it? It's got 40-some different authors, 66 different books, kings and priests and prophets, shepherds, fishermen wrote it. Hey, man, it changed my life. That's what makes it so believable to me when I did first start reading and stopped listening to people and started reading the Bible. And I got to understand that, hey, man, these people were so separated. They didn't have what we got today. They didn't have phones, telegraphs, nothing. But it's all the same. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired it. Man wrote it down. You know, when I went to Duke, they said, I keep saying that. Why do I say that? But anyway, some people would be happy. But anyway, praise God. You took Old Testament theology, very first class I took. Well, they were going to prove to me wrong, because my head was harder than any of theirs. But they were going to prove to me that the first five books, Moses didn't write it. There's no way one man could have wrote that book. And my response the whole time was, yes, he did. God said he did. You know, that's as simple as it gets to me. I don't have to get theological with this. It's not my thoughts that count. It's not my opinions that count. It's what God said that counts. You know, I'm not questioning what happened. Who am I? Doug Johnson. Man, I was hanging over hell by a thread and it was on fire for 38 years of my life, man. Getting ready to snap. Period. Man, but God saved me. He died for me. And for me not to be in love with him and not to want to praise his name.
Amen.
Man, no, I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. So, praise the Lord. Our job description, I'm going to get them to put up Matthew 10:1. This is from the New King James. This is my job description. This is when Jesus sent the disciples out, the 70. This is Matthew's account. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases.
Yeah.
8, please. Verse 8. This is mine. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give.
Hallelujah.
That's my job description. That's your job description as a disciple. We're in here on Wednesday nights. Pastor Chris has been preaching evangelism discipleship. That's what we've been learning how to do. That's a job description for me and you. Wow, we have no excuses. We love what God loves and we hate what God hates, period. And a little homework for you is go to Proverbs 6 and read 16 through 19. He lists seven things. Yes, and thank you. I got it. And so he lists these things, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have time. But we don't have any excuses. I have no excuse for not doing my life the way God said it. Every time I did something on my own, even after I got born again and saved, even after I went into ministry, I fell flat on my face when I tried to do it without Jesus Christ. When I tried to do it without asking, when I tried to do it without getting the proper pastoral counsel, when I tried to do it without any wisdom at all, just doing it because this is the way I've always done it, man, I fell flat on my face every time. So I'm just going to, we're going to look at this brief portion of Scripture, and it's about two fellows who had excuses of why they couldn't walk with Jesus, and we're going to see what the result of that was in their life. But Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62. This is from the New King James. And He says, then he said to another, follow me. This is Jesus. Said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Wow, that's Mr. Compassionate himself, ain't he? Hey, there is no choice here, Doug Johnson. You can't go home. He said, let the dead bury their own dead. You're alive with Christ Jesus now. You've made me the Lord of your life. You're living for me now. You're in God's army. You're not in the world's army. You're not being conformed to the way the world does things. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the dead go bury their own dead. Okay, that's one. But verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Man, we had a volunteer. Praise God. He didn't even wait for his ticket to get punched. He said, I'll go follow you. He said, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking bad is fit for the kingdom of God. He didn't say taking your hands off the plow. He said looking back. Man, I think about that. And the reason I think about those things and I read that is this is the cost of discipleship. Those two guys, yes, I'll do it. Now, please note that the security and the money and the relationships that they were talking about and the excuses they had were not unbiblical, were they? No, they weren't against the law. We're told in Scripture that we are to be prosperous and we'll have good success. That's Joshua 1:8, one of many, many places. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Did they seek God's kingdom first? No. But if our focus is on security, money, and relationship, it keeps man from the blessing of God. The lust of the eyes keeps mankind from advancing to the call of God and then cost us everything. Hebrews 10:38 tells us from the New King James, man, I'm going to tell you what, I need a lectern about this long, man. Big one. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's New Testament. I'm gonna repeat that. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Draws back, apostasy equals rebellion, equals mutiny, equals disobedience, equals defiance. You choose something other than God. 1 Samuel says of a rebellion, and 1 Samuel 15:23 said it is witchcraft. Read it. 1 Samuel. I'm not going to go through all these because, man, I give them, ladies and gentlemen in a sound booth, I don't know, sheet full of scriptures. But the reason I tell you this is about those guys, those two men in Luke 9. You know, when they wrote the Bible, there was no separation of verse and scripture. Chapter. There was none. Not until they got to England. Or Europe, and that's when they started doing that. So it goes right into what 10:1. So I'm asking to put Luke 10:1 up. And it to agree to follow, but they delayed their service to God, and the cost was that they missed out on growing in their relationship and service with God, and they missed the opportunity of a lifetime to go on an all-time mission trip and grow in their service with God. Listen to what Jesus says. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. In other words, those two guys were part of that crew. He appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Think about that. They missed out because they wanted to go home to mama. They missed out because they wanted to go home and see their family. Is there anything bad with that? No, I've got family. Man, I have got them, and I've learned how to love them since I've been in Christ. But I do not let them, nor any other sporting activity, whether it be shooting a deer, a duck, catching a fish, or whatever, come between me and my God. I will not do that. It doesn't mean that I don't do those things and I don't enjoy it and I don't have a good time. But I do not let anything come before me and God. I do not let anything. I'm not going to miss my visitation with Jesus. Every time I come, me and my wife sit right there. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, special meeting on Sunday night or whatever. Man, I'm thinking. I said, man, what's God got in store for me tonight? Amen. That's what I say. I don't know. Am I strange?
No.
That's what I say. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. So, my actions speak volumes. Proof is in the pudding. You guys have heard all these things. If we have been Christians for any length of time, there should be volumes of books wrote about our life and service to God in heaven. Wow.
Yeah.
I've got some things I want to talk about. But James 1:22. We quote this verse all the time, but it's James 1:22. New King James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. In other words, talk's cheap. Let's put the pedal to the metal, put the rubber to the road, and let's do it. Let's get out there and be who we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Let's do the work of the ministry, the marketplace ministers, wherever you go. Man, when you get up in the morning, you go to work, and you're on your way, and you got to stop. Who you got in store for me to see today, guy? That's not God, is it? No, I'm kidding you. Praise the Lord. Somebody's phone heard me speaking. Praise the Lord. Somebody's listening. Anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm going to put 1 Thessalonians 7:10 up, please. And this is a good portion of Scripture. This is going to kick us off to where we're going to close at. And this is a great praise report. It says, so that you become examples in all, and I'm going to do this, Northern Neck, Gloucester, Matthews, Middlesex, King and Queen, who believe.
Yeah.
Okay? Go ahead. There you go. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in our region, Macedonia and the other word, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness, 10, please. I think that's what I had. Did I have 10? Yeah. And to wait for his son from heaven. Man, see, they were waiting on Jesus back then. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. The reason I shared that is a praise report. What a church that must have been. Verse 9, true repentance happened in this church's life, Thessalonica. Fully and completely, they dedicated their lives to serving Jesus, and the results was a total life change. Why? Because other people noticed it. The service showed by their actions, their manner of life, their conduct said it all. Wow. You know, if y'all got your Bibles, I'm going to share just a real quick testimony and then about something that happened to me, I don't know, a month ago. And it's something we don't know who we affect when we're out on the street. I say street, but I wasn't on the street. But you're on the road. You're working on your job. People are working with you. You're hunting. And you're people, man. I got a call from a young man. He's 38 years old now. It's been 22 years since I've seen him. So the math would be, anyway, it was 22 years ago. And this young man called me up and he said, Doug Johnson. And I said, yeah. He said, this is so-and-so. And I said, my goodness, boy. He had a nickname. His daddy hunted. His daddy, actually, most of my dogs went to his daddy. And I said, I haven't seen you in 20-some years. He said, yeah, I know, but I got to talk to you. And I said, man, how'd you get my number? He said, well, my daddy gave it to me. Well, I prayed with his daddy 15 years ago. I haven't seen him. But anyway, I'm believing God. We planted a seed there. You know, I'm sure everybody in here said places like that. But this young man, he said, I met him at a restaurant. I said, man, I'll get you lunch. Come on, man. And his nickname was Shoot a Lot. Because I didn't care if we put the dogs in over here at the river. He could put him in this parking lot on the back of the truck, and he was going to shoot a deer. I mean, he had it. I mean, that young man, he was 14 years old, he was shooting. Shoot a Lot, we called him. Had blood running everywhere. Man, you walk up to the truck and you got blood going here. Blood. I said, shoot a lot, what are you doing, man? He said, man, I can't help it. I said, here's some more buckshot. But anyway, the reason I tell you all that is, he met him at the restaurant. He said, before we go in, he's married and got three kids. He said, he's a fireman. And he said, hey, he said, I told my wife I'm going to go see this guy, Doug Johnson. And I thought, my goodness. And she said, well, who is he? And he said, this guy. And he said, what I'm getting ready to tell you. Man, I sat there over my salad and I had tears in my eyes because this is what he said. And I want to make sure you hear this. He said, the whole time when he started hunting with us is when I had gotten born again. And all I talked about with those boys, I grew up with them. We hunted together before we had driver's license.
Right.
We drank together. We spit in the same cup. We did all that stuff.
Right.
I'm telling you. Man, those guys would give me the shirt off their back in February, right now, if I called them up. Same guys, but they don't get to Jesus. But this young man, all I talked about was Jesus for 4 or 5 years. He said, that's all you ever talked about was Jesus, getting Jesus. You got to have Jesus in your life. I didn't know nothing else. I didn't know no Bible. I hardly knew John 3:16. But the point is, I had him in my heart, and people were hearing it. Your marketplace ministers, you make a difference no matter where you are. People are going to see who Jesus is in your life. Man, and that young man said, I want to let you know that those seeds that you planted in me by the words you spoke and the way you acted did not go. 10 years ago, I got married. And he says, I got born again and filled with the Spirit, and my three kids are homeschooled, and we go to a church in Williamsburg. And he said, I had to tell you, I've been burning up to tell you this. I just wanted to know you did not waste your time. Now, I cried. I said, boy, what have you done? I said, man. He said, no. He said, I told my daddy I was coming to see you. He said, you prayed with him, but he said, my daddy ain't got no fruit on a tree. I said, well, you know what that means. A tree is known by its fruit. We got to have fruit. We got to be who we say we are, regardless of what our neighbors think about us or our former best friends, drink, whatever. You understand? I'm telling you that for this purpose right here. What a praise report. 1 Thessalonica. Man, by the way, that was the first letter Paul wrote. Isn't that something? That's why I like to read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, because it's powerful. Now, I've been trying to get a drink of water. Y'all hanging in there all right?
Yeah.
Everything all right? Yeah. Praise God. Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. You got to put some in there. Praise God. So, man. Wow. Which one am I going to do? New King James. I got, you know, y'all know I pastored a chapel down here from 04 to 07, but I started with the King James and the New King James. Well, I went and got a New Living, man, and before long, everybody knew what I was talking about because I didn't have to decipher any words. But I still like the New King James. I like word studies. I like that. But I'm going to ask, and they can put this up, but I'm going to ask, we're going to spend the remainder of the time and not, I'm going to try and do a good job on this, but chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, verses 1 through 12. And this is about the general will for every person's life from God. How many of y'all want to know the will of God for your life? I do. The general will, I just spoke about it for the last 37 minutes. But the general will of God for your life. Chapter 4 is so very important because Paul teaches you and I about the will of God for our lives. And he also teaches in 13 to 18 verses, verse 13 through verse 18, about the rapture of the body of Christ. He teaches us that. This is the first letter he wrote. Man, he's already teaching the church about the rapture, and now you say rapture and people flip out. My goodness, it's the calling away. It's the rising up of the saints is what it is. You know, Pastor Chris spent time about words that people get last week, and I just got, but I'm gonna read this, and as I read it, we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to interject some more scriptures too, and the importance of this. But he says, Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound. Remember that word abound. More and more. In other words, he's telling us we ain't doing enough. He's telling the church at Thessalonica, you ain't doing enough, ladies and gentlemen. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God. Here he is talking about walking and pleasing God again. Remember Colossians 1:10? Walk worthy of him, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in his knowledge, strengthened with his might and power. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say Jesus Christ, but it's the Lord Jesus. In other words, there's a commandment. He didn't suggest that Doug does this. He said, I commanded you to do this. Man, how many of y'all came from a strong father in your home where, brother, you... Hey, in other words, you did what he said or else. Right. And when I see words like that, I think. And I go, wow. You know, he's commanded me. This is not a holy suggestion, it's a holy command. And if you can't handle that, we're going to start at square one and we'll start all over and be here another hour. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 3. For this is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? Here Paul is saying, this is one of many places. This is the will of God. That will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification is a $9 Christian word for being set apart and made holy. There's a condition and process. It's a day-to-day growth process in our life being sanctified. Man, and we'll go back. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. Wow, what is that? Well, this is going to hit everybody that isn't living like this, that isn't living a Christian life. But that means any sex outside of the woman that you're married to as a man or a woman to a man. I got that straight.
That's right.
Right? We talked about that Sunday. Hey, any sex outside of that. He said, abstain from any sexual immorality. That word abstain means stop it.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 5:22, he goes on to say, abstain from every form of evil.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, he's talking about the will of God for my life. Why would he bring up sexual immorality right off the bat? Well, you can go, I don't know, I've got to get the time. But you can go back and read the dirty list. Galatians 5:19-21. Colossians 3:5-11. He names all those dirty lists, man, all the stuff. You know, now you are to kill off and mortify the works of the flesh, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, he goes through these things. Man, he's hitting home right off the bat.
Amen.
Paul ain't in the friend business. He's in the making Jesus lover business. That's what he does. We talked about that Sunday, Galatians 1:10-4. He talked about, I'm not a people pleaser. If I was a people pleaser, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Remember that? And then Galatians 4:16, he says, what, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Praise God. I'm not anybody's enemy in here, am I? Because, you know, praise the Lord. Keep my mouth shut for that one. So, 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That word vessel there, he's talking to men. It's all inclusive. It means men and women. But he's talking about your spouse. He's talking about, I should know how to possess my wife. Take care of her. Guard her. Wash her. Check this out. He said in 5, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles do, who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned and you and testified. My goodness. Check this out. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness.
Yeah.
Matthew 5:48, Jesus himself said, be holy for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16, Peter said the same thing, for he himself said, be holy, for he is holy. 1 Corinthians 11:1, y'all write these down. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote again, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1, he says, be imitators of me as a child, you know. I think every boy wanted to, I'm a boy, I'm still in, but my dad was still alive. He still called me boy. But every boy wants to, you know, wants to imitate his daddy. No matter what he's doing. If you got a son, I'm going to tell you something, dads. If you got a son, and this is coming, the Holy Spirit's bringing this to you. If you've got a son and he spent 5 years in your home, the way you've trained him the first 5 years is going to be hard to break that off of him. The only thing that's going to break that curse and deliver him from that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've sat in people's homes from the time I've been in the ministry up till now and told them, I said, look, that your young boy is going to be just like you, Dad, if you don't get yourself in gear and start honoring God and taking care of God. Well, a lot of them homes ain't homes no more. They're broken or remarried or whatever. I'm just telling y'all the truth. This is tight, but it's right. Y'all all right with that? Yep. Wednesday night crew should be. Praise God. Okay. Verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Don't get mad at me. I'm the messenger boy here. I'm reading God's word. You reject what I've read to you, it's because you're rejecting what God said. It's not for anybody in here, it's for everybody online. Praise the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, the last three. This is, but concerning brotherly love, we have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. When I first read that verse 9, I said, well, praise God, he's getting off my back. You know, I'm going to do something right. He said, I ain't got no need to write to you. Right? All right, here comes 10. He says, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. Might as well say our region, Northern Neck, Middle Peninsula. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He ain't satisfied, man. He says increase. Remember I said, remember that word abound up there in verse 1? Increase, abound, grow. We got work to do, people. Amen. And it's about Jesus. It is. Praise God. Okay. Now, these are my three pretty much, I call them the easy peasies of Scripture. And verse 11, 12. Easy peasy, 1, 2, 3. Listen to this. That you increase more and more, he ends 10 with. And 11, he goes, that you also aspire, check this out, to live a quiet life. To mind your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about living a lifestyle that God called us to live. To be his workmanship. To be his masterpiece in our relationship and in our service to God. To live a cool, calm, and collected life. Those three keys, live a quiet life, mind your own business, work for a living. Man, just think. The government would be out of a job if everybody did that, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have anything if everybody worked for a living. I mean, the ones that can. Verse 12 applies to being self-supporting financially. Listen to these other translations. NLT, verse 12. Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. 11 and 12 from the Passion Translation. Aspire to live a calm and peaceful life as you mind your own business and earn your own living, just as we taught you. In other words, they were taught to do it. They were discipled on how to work for a living, how to live a quiet life, how to mind your own business. By doing this, you will live an honorable life, influencing others and commanding respect of even the unbelievers. Then you'll be in need of nothing and not dependent on others. Government will be out of business. We are to work for a living. I'm asking them to put up 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And now he's gone from preaching to meddling. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, if you're able to work, you work. And there's work. 1 Timothy 5:8, please. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, in other words, deadbeat dad, cash potatoes dad, yeah, laying at home watching, eating Twinkies, watching Duck Dynasty or something, praise God, whatever you're doing, you're supposed to be, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, check this out, and is worse than an unbeliever.
Wow.
Now this is a pastor, that's tough stuff, ain't it?
Yeah.
Man, I just want to take a break once in a while. Sometimes I think, man, hey, there's no dust underneath my feet. There ain't none. I know that's proper grammar, but there ain't none. I got too much to do for God. Woo. So, remember, there's no excuses. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Last set of scriptures. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11 from the New Living. This is good stuff. This is the barnyard part of it. This is why I like Solomon, man. He must have been a, even though he was a rich kid, he had to have some farm boy in him. He said, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. He says, learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer and gather food all winter. Stop right there, please. Notice, can you back up one verse to 7? Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work. They ain't got no government. Remember what I said earlier? Government be out of work?
Yeah.
The ants have put them out of work. Praise God. Go to 8 again. I'm going to read it and continue on. They labor hard all summer, gather food for the winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just do it the God way and read the Bible. Isn't that awesome? An ant. God uses an ant to tell us who he placed his Holy Spirit in. Think about that. Think about that. He could have chose anything. This is a 2 Corinthians 4:7, I believe, tells us that we're like clay pottery, cheap clay pottery that's easily broken. And God chose us to put his Holy Spirit in. You know? And I think about that. That's just, to me, is tremendous. So, I'm going to ask, get some help from Brother Ron. And you go, what? You winding down quick? No. I've got about 40 other scriptures that I wanted to read, but I said, no, nah, enough's enough. Did y'all get anything tonight?
Awesome.
Well, I asked myself a question a lot, and to have everything that I've talked about tonight, to be God's workmanship, you know, we're not born into it. We have to ask for it. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's 8 and 9. And then in verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's grace. It's a free gift. You have to take that gift and open it up. And it's just like any other gift. It's just like what I was sharing with you earlier about me 22, 23 years ago when I pretty much run all the boys away, my age, this kid's dad and everybody else, young man's dad. And I said, hey. And he said, all I talked about was Jesus for the 4 years I was there before I went into ministry. And he said, that's all you talked about. That's all I knew. Man, let me tell you about the greatest thing in the world, Jesus. I had one man, the first person God ever used me to lead to the Lord. Man, this guy in King William, this guy's wife, when I pulled up in his lane, she used to throw beer bottles at my truck. Get out of here. You're not pulling my husband away. And like I was pulling his husband. I was pulling teeth, Dr. Ben. Huh? But anyway, no. But it came years later. I witnessed to that man on a rainy day, Saturday. And I went up there Sunday after church. I had talked to my pastor and said, how do I get this? How do I lead this man to the Lord? And he told me his name was Pastor Bob Woodfin. And I went to his house and I pulled up in the driveway. His wife came running out and gave me a hug and said that the man, he had went to church with her that day. And I said, well, I come talk to him about making Jesus the Lord of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, God will use you any place, anytime, anywhere if you allow him to do that. Just start being a witness for him. Just start saying, I want to serve you, God. I'm your workmanship. I want to do what Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Romans 5:8 said that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me and gave his heart and gave his life for me. God gave his son for me, John 3:16. So I asked myself this question, how do I control and conquer and overcome my flesh with Jesus? By putting Jesus in me. And believing it and acting like it and living like it. We can change our environment. We can be delivered from any demonic force that we ever were subjected to before we met Jesus. When we just receive Jesus. By receiving Jesus and living like he's true, we become the Christian men and women we're supposed to be in the time that we're in. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, he said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord's at hand, ladies and gentlemen, again. 2,000 years ago, how much more now? And we're to rejoice and let our gentleness be made known to all men. I have to be delivered from my flesh all the time because my good thing reminds me that I can be abrasive sometimes. I can be, man, just dogmatic. But Jesus saved me. He saved me. He saved you if you're a believer and you believe in him. The first step that we have to do to become a believer is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, I'm going to ask that you just get up out of your seat and come up here. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to, if you've never publicly acknowledged him as your Lord,